Perfect. Hi, hello everybody, and I'm Logan, Loganity Morris, on a very impromptu edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour. It is a Zach Bell tuning in, saying we need a Logan was right rant to start. Zach Bell, thanks for tuning in, brother. Appreciate you. Let your comments known. We'll get to all of them. I'm Logan, Loganity Morris, and yes, I was right. Unfortunately, this is not a very happy occasion. Ryan Hill, how are you? I'm not doing this thing alone. Pushing the buttons is producer Peggy. Come on in, Peggy. Let's talk a little bit. Look, I said on this show for a long time for about the last 2 years that I thought SHR was not going to last as we know it. And unfortunately, today we got the news that that is the case. They released a statement on their social media, Peggy. We want to read that off for the people.
Yeah. My social anxiety just kicked in.
Nice. Nice.
When they used to make us read in school, I struggled with
a little game of popcorn. Yeah.
All right. So this is a joint statement from Tony Stewart and Gene Haas. They have to say, we have made the difficult decision to close Stewart Haas Racing at the conclusion of the 2024 season. It is a decision that did not come easily, nor was it made quickly. Racing is a labor-intensive, humbling sport. It requires unwavering commitment and vast resources, with a 365-day mindset to be better than everyone else. It's part of what makes success so rewarding. But the commitment needed to extract maximum performance while providing sustainability is incredibly demanding. And we've reached a point in our respective personal and business lives where it's time to pass the torch. We're proud of all the wins and championships we've earned since joining together in 2009, but even more special is the culture we built and the friendships we forged as we committed to a common cause, winning races and collecting trophies. That is the same commitment we made to our personal... personnel, our partners, and our fans coming into this year, and that commitment will remain through the season finale at Phoenix. We have tremendous respect and appreciation for all of our employees, and we will work diligently to assist them during this transition to find new opportunities beyond the 2024 race season.
All right, thank you, Peggy, for reading that off. Zach Bell says they're cooked. They've been cooked. Them not signing Carl Larson was the ultimate failure. But let's talk about that. This is sudden, right? Zach, Ryan, anybody else, this is pretty sudden in terms of, I mean, it was 4 years ago. They absolutely were a championship contender year in, year out. Zach says to play a Tony Stewart to memorialize the team. There'll be plenty of people doing that, Zach. There'll be plenty of folks. Now, this is pretty shocking, and not like lately. Like, we knew something was coming. But, I mean, it was only 4 years ago. They were still perennial championship contenders. Kevin Harvick was absolutely always dominating. We remember it wasn't that long ago we were talking about who's all time better. Who's all time better? Freddie, how are you, brother? Said he had a funny feeling it was coming for a while. We were talking about who was better, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch. They were kind of trading wins back and forth on the win list. It wasn't that long ago. It feels like a lifetime ago. You know, that was during COVID and all that. But it feels it wasn't that long ago, really. And so, for me, you know, yeah, I said for a while, and here's why I felt this way. You know, we know Tony Stewart has a lot of things, a lot of fingers in different pots. NHRA, we saw SRX shut down. Of course, they were taken over by the Skip Barber School and then reportedly trying to plan a season for this year. You know, we saw that. We saw it a lot. And so we know he's trying to start a family. We know he's not happy with where NASCAR is right now. We can have a wonderful debate on if he's right or wrong on those issues. We just know that he's not thrilled. Zach Bell says 2020 was the turning point. Harvick dominated and Ford said no to Larson. They progressively backed off their effort and commitment leading to Harvick carrying them. Yeah, I think that looking back, Zach, I think we can agree that you know, it probably was the turning point. It probably, you know, we would have never guessed that would be the beginning of the proverbial end, if you will. And, I mean, it's not quite over yet, but they will shut their doors at the end of the 2024 NASCAR season. Freddie says, 2018 Harvick or 2020 Harvick, which one was better to you? For me, it was 2020. 2020, he was on a tear. I'll say 2020, he was on a tear. And so, look, it is sad, but it's not surprising, like Freddie said. Tony Stewart just doesn't have interest in NASCAR anymore. He just doesn't. You know, for better or worse, and he's got a lot of different things going on. You know, and that's you know, and I feel for all the people losing their jobs. That's what I feel for. That's why I'm not going to go on a humongous I was right rant here, because at the end of the day, real people are really affected by this. Where Tony Stewart and Gene Haas will be fine. You know, matter of fact, the drivers will likely be fine. It's the crew members. It's the team coordinators that really have issue. And that sucks. And that really does. That sucks. And we hate to see a team go under. That is a continuing theme in this sport lately that has got, I mean, I shouldn't say lately, for a while, and it needs to stop. And now Ford without a team. Ford without a whole team. Ford without a whole team, Peter. A whole team. Whole team. Ryan, that means more resources going to your boys at Penske, I assume.
And you know, Logan, we have another guest who might have an opinion on this better opinions than I have, because I don't know anything.
Well, you know quite a bit, but
I don't know about that.
All right.
Do you want to intro this guest? Because
sure, let's bring him in. Good friend of the show. He's been on. He's been on a few different incarnations of this show. Kyle Fizz Finley, come on in here, sir. Biggest Georgia fan I know. I thought about giving you the Pat McAfee intro, but that was going to take some time. So,
how you doing, Logan?
Doing well, Kyle. Thanks for hopping on. We're here to talk about it. Stewart Haas announced today they will shut their doors at the end of the 2024 campaign. Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm quite a bit, because Stewart Haas goes back a long way, man. Like going back to 2008. Stewart leaving Gibbs to get there and get the owner driver. He talked to me in 2012 and told me that 12 years later, Stewart Haas would be shutting the for good. That is crazy, you know?
It's baffling. It's baffling. It's not so baffling right now. But I mean, the fact is, this is not far from being a championship contending team a few years ago, and now they're on their way out of the sport entirely. Not a merger, not anything like that. They are shutting their doors entirely. It's sad, really.
It is. And it does make sense. You had an F1 team. Okay. Always important. started drag race full time and run there when you have that so committed a decade ago to the team that essentially that burner for them. But it the black to it's
yeah, Ryan's got a good comment here. We're gonna take Kyle. We're gonna let you figure out your audio for a second, and then we'll bring you back when you're ready. Ryan says, "What sucks for SHR is I feel like they're having a solid young core: Briscoe, Rakeson, and Barry. Those three have had some solid runs." I agree, Ryan. I agree. That really does suck.
We have another special guest.
How many we have here? Lord.
While Kyle figures his audio out, we do have another special guest.
Well, I don't know this one, so.
It's a big surprise. All right. You know him well.
My man, the founder himself, old AJ Appeal, AJ England. Some just call you Aaron, even. How are you, my friend?
Well, all is well, and I apologize. One of my biggest rules is you never stand up. You always make it look like you got a good backdrop. But before I answer any questions, and this has to be short. You know how I'm always short on here.
Yeah.
Is one, I just wanted to brag about our good friend Kyle Larson and having a great day in Indiana last week. And then check this out. You ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
Oh.
That is a Indianapolis Indians hat, which is both – sacred to Cleveland Indians fans, but also evil to a Columbus Clipper fan. How about that?
Oh, nice. It's great to way to offend the folks. We like that so much.
I ask me a question or two. I feel like I know where you're going, and I'm going to hijack the show, and then I'll get out of here, and you won't hear from me for about 6 months. Sound good?
Well, that sounds great, my friend. We hope you're healthy during those 6 months. Anywho, let's talk about it. SHR shutting down. They announced that they're shutting down at the end of the year. Not sure where the Chargers are going as of now. Bob has got his sources, Bob Pogress of Fox Sports. But I just want your thoughts, because you taught me about SHR, young man. So what are your thoughts? This is pretty stunning when you consider just a couple years ago they were perennial championship contenders. What are your thoughts?
Well, you got to think about it. A lot of this comes down to money. And folks, I am no member of the NASCAR media. This is the fan, Aaron England, AJ. But there was a time when I couldn't say that. And you may remember here in the city of Indianapolis, old AJ broke the story that Eric Almirola was going to come out of retirement. We at Racing Refresh announced before, and that was after talking to the guy at Smithfield and the guy at the SHR merch trailer. They showed us the whatnot, and it turned out real nice. So, one, we got to know it comes down to money. Two, the boss, Tony, is over here in our sport and loving it. He's found love in Leah and perhaps a bigger love even in the sport itself. So he's happy where he is. That's not insider knowledge. He talks about it in his interviews and how this sport reminds him of what he feels stock car racing once was. So when you have Tony Stewart publicly saying, listen, my time in NASCAR was great, but it's time to move on, I don't think anybody can be surprised, right?
Yeah, I'm not overly surprised. It's just a kind of a, you know, I don't want to be hyperbolic when I say this, AJ, but it's kind of a stunning downfall for one of the teams that not too long ago was a powerhouse. You know, we've seen it before with RFK and things like that, but RFK is still in business and now they're back on the upswing. So to see Stuart Haas not only take a step back, that happens, but then to completely decide they're at the end of the line in totality, still kind of shocking and really awful for a lot of great drivers, and most importantly, a lot of great crew that got to go look for jobs and uncertainty. You know, do you think those drivers are going to land on their feet?
Well, I'll admit, and for anybody who may have followed me over at Racing Refresh, it might sound as a surprise, but I really don't follow the sport how I once have. Mm-hmm. But I do know that these are cup-level drivers, all with more than one season of full-time NASCAR racing, whether it be a lower series or, you know, the current series. So I would assume they all will. Now, here's something I'll tell you. Two of those charters started at Michael Waltrip Racing, and they've had a downfall of now their second team closing. If you follow the lineage of charters, you can type in charter lineage in the search bar at racingrefresh.com. There's a really great history of where each charter comes from. That'll be the most interesting to see which ones are leased, which ones are sold, and which ones may be in the open market for a team like Junior Motorsports or even a wealthy celebrity. Or maybe the deal's already sold and we just don't know for sure yet. I know there's some good rumors that have a little bit of value right now. But yeah,
we'll see. Yeah. Zach Bell says no downfall compares to the downfall of SHR. In recent memory, I don't think you're wrong, Zach. This is one of the biggest silly season shoe drops we've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of snowballed the last couple weeks with the rumor and innuendo. We knew something was coming. But when you think about, like Kyle was alluding to, albeit with audio issues, just how great they were for such a long time, and Tony Stewart leaves Joe Gibbs Racing to start this and found this, and Kevin Harvick cements himself as an icon in the sport at SHR. You know, Kurt Busch wins the Daytona 500 at SHR. Ryan Newman has great runs at SHR. It's pretty unfathomable when you think about how quickly this has come.
Another historic moment that will maybe always be overlooked but shouldn't is they ushered in Danica Patrick, you know, one of the most accomplished women racers in all of auto sport. Granted, her career in NASCAR had its ups and downs. We all documented that. But Tony Stewart ushered her into the Cup Series with the Chevrolet GoDaddy deal. And yeah, this is a big deal. It's a major team. But – you know, Gene Haas, he's got a great career ahead of him. Even still, he's obviously back in an F1 team. He has a great CNC machinery shop that's always kept his race teams afloat. Tony is happy. The drivers will find something. And I'm sure that the Ford Motor Company will do everything they can to keep those Ford charters elsewhere. But my friends at Chevrolet will do everything they can to lock in one of them, too.
Yes, we know that you've been a Chevy guy for a long time coming. Absolutely. 100%. No, it is. It's shocking. It's kind of saddening. Do you've got a chance to know Tony Stewart a little bit now that he's in your sport and in HRA. Do you think this is entirely the end of the line for him in NASCAR? A statement that would be pretty unheard of just a couple years ago.
Well, I do talk to him about NASCAR. You know, I don't want to sugarcoat it and say I don't know the guy, but we're not best friends either, you know. But we talk often at the track, and he – you know, he loved NASCAR. I think it served him well. It certainly made him some money. But he's like Larson. He's like so many others. Juan, you know, people that can race in just about everything. And I don't personally take him as a sentimental person. He looks at the mission moving forward. Here's two things we know. We know he's happy where he is in drag racing. It's not an act. He loves owning that team and managing it. And frankly, right now he's in the top. What is he? Top 10 in championship points, if I had to guess in top few. I can't recall off my head. And then also, you know, he's a champion owner already with Matt Hagen as the reigning funny car. So he's happy in drag racing. The other thing he's happy with is he still is going to manage the many businesses, including the Eldora Dirt Racetrack. And that's a piece of auto sport history there. And I believe Rossburg, Ohio, that people love. It's a crown jewel dirt facility, and he rides the tractors with the chains behind him. And so, you know, he's a wealthy, successful racer who's happy. And I think that's what we should focus on every time his name is mentioned. Regarding the racers, the employees, look at Rodney Childers. He's worked there loyally since leaving MWR, who he was there loyally for a long time. You know, there's people that have been there a long time, and they deserve a chance to find something great. And as shocking as it might have been to make this announcement this early in the year is the right thing, so that these men and women that work for him have the chance to go offer their resumes to the next best race team.
Amen to that. Matt Nicholson coming in saying that, by God, that's England's music. Matt, it is. It is old AJ England's music. What are your thoughts, Matt, on SHR, you know, unfortunately shutting the doors? Matt Marr says, I wish I could have been a part of the show tonight, guys, but I'm definitely sad with SHR leaving at the end of the year. Yeah, that's why, you know, I told Zach this. That's why I'm not sitting here going, I was right. Because it's not a good, fun occasion. It's somber. The people are losing their jobs, and that affects livelihoods. And frankly, it's bad for the economic outcome of the sport. To lose to lose Tony Stewart, to lose Gene Haas in the sport in NASCAR is not a good thing. Peggy, I see you got a comment there. Go ahead.
If I may interject.
Sure.
Kyle's back.
Okay, let's bring him in. One, Kyle Finley.
How's the audio now? Can you hear me?
A little bit better. Yes, sir.
Okay, good. AJ, hi. I haven't seen you in 4 years.
Good to see you, buddy.
Feels like. The one thing I was going to add to what AJ is saying is, Tony Stewart's not the most sentimental of people. I've gotten to meet him a couple times, too. And it just from what I've seen of him in the public. But two of the tweets that were put out about the meeting today said that it was a very emotional Tony Stewart addressing all the crew members and the employees of Stewart Haas Racing. He loves motorsport, just all types. He loves dirt racing. He loves NHRA. He loves NASCAR. He spent 20 years of his life, 25 years of his life in NASCAR. It matters to him. And so, like, this decision did not come lightly to this man at all. But it's just it's incredibly sad, both for us and for him, that he had to make the financial decision that he did to have to let this go. If I'm making sense, I know that's I'm kind of just bouncing off of what AJ said in the previous comment there.
No, absolutely. Kyle, you got any questions for AJ? I know he's a busy man. Any questions, any thoughts?
I'd have to think about that one for just a little bit. what's John Force's favorite orange juice?
Favorite orange juice? I'll tell you, the boss man. The boss man drinks two things loyally because you don't get the kind of energy to promote Chevrolet's great cars, Peak antifreeze, and Colette Cornwell quality tools, Mala, Simpson safety equipment. what I'm getting at is I left one big one out without drinking a high quality Monster Energy. You don't do that without chug-a-lugging a lot of, and of course you want to do their new zero sugar options. So the boss man gets all wound up with his favorite amounts of coffee and Monster Energy.
All right, AJ. Fantastic plug. I have one final question for you, then I'll let you go. Do you think this is, because you know better than I on this, do you think this is indicative of the issues with the charter agreement? Do you think this is economic? Do you think it's just he lost interest? What are the lead factors in today's kind of stunning decision?
Well, the factors are NASCAR is clearly doing something right, or their TV ratings and revenues would not be absolutely through the roof. But the sport has also changed tremendously. We've gone to a spec series with gimmick rules such as stage breaks and an enhanced playoff system that's made to entertain a casual fan of auto sport. And unless they get back to endurance racing, we're going to continue to see many people leave the sport that we consider our favorites.
Well, fantastic. I like that. I like that. I like that answer. So, AJ, I know you're busy, so I'll send you along. Any final words for the folks tuned in or the folks at Racing Refresh?
Yeah, visit NHRA.com to get your tickets for New England.
Oh, no.
Fantastic. Visit NHRA.com to get your tickets for the New Hampshire Nationals. All right, Kyle. Your audio is good to go now. And so, well, that was a bad exit for old AJ Appeal. Colin Buster, how are you? Colin, how are you? Colin, what's your thoughts? Let us know in the comments or hop on the stream. Let us know. SHR shutting down. All right, Kyle, let's talk about it some more. Okay. I intend to go about an hour, if that's all right with everybody. We didn't mean to cut AJ off mid-promo, Zach, but technical difficulties. Apparently, God didn't like the sales pitch.
You've noticed how AJ has turned into the quintessential salesman in the last couple of years.
Absolutely. No question about that. I mean, look, I'm ready to go drink a Monster Energy right now. Peggy, what say you? Are you ready to go drink a Monster Energy?
I'm more of a Red Bull girl, but I'll drink a Monster.
All right. So, Kyle, let's talk about where these drivers might end up. You know, that is who we are. They're really going through it. Not to say that Tony Stewart and Gene Haas aren't having a rough day. They are, but they're going to be okay. You know, what do you think the future is for, you know, Josh Berry and Chase Briscoe and Cole Custer and Ryan Preece and Riley Herbst and just the slew of drivers that still work at SHR? Of course, Noah Gregson just got there, and now he's got to look for another team again. It'll be the second time in 2 years. What's your take on that? What's going to happen with them?
There's still a lot of factors to be worked out with that. It's kind of hard to go ahead and predict where each one of those drivers are going, particularly since we are sort of sure where three of those four charters are going, but we still don't know where the fourth is going. We know FRM is looking at taking one. We know 2311 is looking at taking one. And who was the other one? Legacy?
There were some legacy rumors, RFK. Go ahead there, Peggy.
I don't mean to interrupt, but we have a third guest. You are muted.
All right, well, let's bring in whoever this is, because I ain't got a clue.
You know him well, but you haven't seen him in a while. Get ready.
All right. The best man himself.
Yeah. Hi, hey, guys.
Colin Best, welcome home. Welcome home, sir.
Hey, it's good to be back. When I'm not working at my day job, I can finally have time to like be here.
All right, Colin, give us your thoughts. Stewart Haas Racing, shutting down.
What happened? I don't know. I haven't been connected. Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh,
the rumors are true.
Like a cardiac infarction over here, boys.
Oh my god. My initial thoughts when I read it was, "Damn, that sucks for everyone involved with SHR." I thought to myself, "This is a team that 3 or 4 years ago was probably the best place to be in NASCAR if you were a driver." Kevin Harvick had an all-time career year. He was fighting for a championship, and now they have been relegated to a footnote in NASCAR history, pretty much. And I think it has to go with there. It's a bigger conversation that we're going to have about NASCAR and their media rights and how the charters are performing and how the next gen overall has affected the NASCAR landscape. And to me, you referenced this a couple times or so, that with NASCAR's relationship with Eldora sort of going to the wayside, Tony Stewart just doesn't, I feel like, have the heart for the NASCAR Cup Series anymore, as he's moved on to NHRA and other forms of motorsport. So to me, this was just writing on the wall that has been building up for a couple of years, and now we've finally seen SHR is no longer going to be in the NASCAR Cup Series or any NASCAR series, to my knowledge, going forward.
They're shutting down entirely at the end of the year. A couple of comments to get to. Brandon Wilcox says Noah should go back to Junior Motorsports. You know, coming into the year, I'd have said, Brandon, you are right. But let's be honest, he has been a stellar performer in that 10 car, right? And so I think that would be unfair for him to have. You know, we'll see what happens. He might have to do that, you know. You know, seats just don't open up every day. Matt Maher misses Colin. We all miss Colin. Colin, it's good to have you home. Fizz, let's get your thoughts on that. You know, Noah Gregson, coming into the year, I'd have said, yeah, he probably needs to go back to the Xfinity Series. He did not have a good half year with Legacy Motor Club, but that has not been the case with SHR. Should Noah Gregson consider going back to the Xfinity Series?
Honestly, I think it has everything to do with what rides are going to be available. Those charters have to go somewhere. And honestly, Noah has impressed this year. You can make an argument he's probably the second best SHR driver this year, but he's been one of the most, if not the most consistent SHR driver all season. And that, another thing that seemed to be unheard of a year ago when we were watching him struggle at Legacy. I think Noah has a place in the Cup Series. It's just going to be a matter of who gets the charters, what rides are open, are they looking to fill those rides with somebody who's already set, or do they want a driver who has started to prove himself in the Cup Series and bring sponsorship money with him?
Zach Bell has a comment. He should go to colleague and needs a team to let Noah be himself. I think that's something that SHR was succeeding at more than Legacy Motor Club, who, you know, as much as I love LMC, they seem to be more of a buttoned up organization than SHR. You know, Colin, what's your take? Has Noah done enough to earn another cup opportunity?
I think he has. I think he's certainly one of the more talented young drivers in the NASCAR Cup Series garage that you can build a future with. And I feel like Josh Berry and Chase Briscoe are also in that same position where they have a ride somewhere in the NASCAR Cup Series in 2025. The only one who doesn't, to me, is Ryan Preece, has been the odd man out. We remember, I think, about a month ago or so that there was internal meetings and Ryan Preece was not part of these meetings, and then he was a part of these meetings. So it seems the odd man out is anyone associated with that number 41 car in Stewart Haas Racing. But everyone else, I think, has the right, if they've earned a position here in the NASCAR Cup Series. I think Josh Berry's in his rookie year, so he gets some leeway. Noah Gregson, we've seen the talent levels that he has in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, and he's earned his Cup Series ride. And Chase Briscoe, he's a Cup Series winner. He's certainly capable of competing at the Cup, the NASCAR's highest level of stock car racing in the country. So I think for those three guys, we'll see him in 2025. Just don't know where. I think it would be really cool to see Gregson probably jump to the Toyota bandwagon, but I am a Toyota guy, so I'm a little biased here. But I think for him, Colleague would certainly be a good fit. I think Fernando Tureau would be a great fit, considering that they're on the up and up. And then 2311 would probably be another good landing spot for him as well.
Yeah, I really think that 2311 is going to go after one of those charters. But here's the kicker. Here's the kicker of the 2311s going after a charter. Let's not forget, folks. Let's not forget this. They got a guy named Corey Heim who appears to be on the precipice of being in the Cup Series. You know, I know he hasn't ran hardly anything in the Xfinity Series. He did do two starts for Legacy Motor Club this year and did okay in the 43, all things considered. Here's the thing. A lot of these teams that are going after the charters already have plans for a potential charter that don't include these SHR drivers. Kyle, do you get what I'm talking about there? We talk about Spire and Dane Smith, and everybody's got these plans for these charters, but that may not include these Stewart Haas drivers. What's your take?
Yeah, I think a track house is a perfect example of exactly what you're talking about. Because Trackhouse has Zane Smith and SBG both sitting there ready, and they only have two charters. Suarez is on contract for at least two more years. Chastain's on contract for, two, three more years, somewhere around there. I know he just signed an extension. That's their two charters taken up. They add a third. They still got two drivers for one spot. I don't see where one of those SHR drivers fits into that. And that kind of brings up another point is they have, like Colin said, I do think those three drivers have the talent. Briscoe has Ford backing. Gregson has money behind him and sponsorship coming with him. Josh Berry, who I think would be the second odd man out of those, is older in starting the Cup Series, but he has run well when given the opportunities. But do they have spots available for them regardless of the talent they have?
Yeah, it's a great question. And then let's not forget one of the things that might be a little undercovered right now. Jim Utter of motorsport.com reported that sales of charters can't happen until a new agreement is reached. Did you guys see that, Colin? Jim Utter says that there's no sale can happen for charters until a new agreement is reached. What's your take on that?
See, I think it's one of these, the business of motorsports has changed so much that to me, and I'll kind of echo what AJ said, is that this has become a joke of motorsport. You don't see this in any other form of motorsports here, except F1, where they just don't want Andretti to be a part of it at all. You don't see it in IndyCar. Well, they talked about going to charters, but then the team owners are like, no, we don't want that at all. But that's more focused on the 500. But in NASCAR, I've never supported this charter system to begin with the car count decreasing on by a yearly basis. Everyone who makes a race gets in. And the only time it charters matter is the Daytona 500. So, I feel like because of the restrictions in place and teams can't access charters, this goes against some tampering business laws that I am not smart enough to comment on. I don't have any business degree. I'm a journalist by trade. I can look it up in probably 10 minutes or so and be competent enough to talk about it. But to my knowledge right now, and what I've seen from other people reporting in the NASCAR Cup Series or NASCAR media, tampering laws are a thing, and that's why you've seen a lot of teams be hands-off on these talks with charters.
All right, Kyle, let's address Zach Bell's comment. He says that Jim Utter is misinformed. They can be sold but won't be. What's your take?
I'm not sure about what Utter said. I would, like Colin said, I would have to do more research on that to know for sure as to whether they can be sold until a new agreement is reached. But Colin made a great point that also these charters were meant to give stability to the field, and now we're fighting basically behind closed doors as to whether the charters are even viable to continue with. And they were selling for, as Dale Jr. said, a ridiculous amount of money. We either need to make those permanent going forward or get rid of them completely, and either one has a consequence simply because we have this issue that NASCAR has kind of backed itself into this corner by creating the charter system in the first place. But now they have charters that want to be sold, and we're in an issue where, like, I don't quite understand which direction this is going to go, because it seems like NASCAR is holding up the charter system negotiations because they don't want to make it permanent. They want to have some kind of control to be able to step back and take charters from the teams, but then that diminishes the value for the teams, which is the whole point of the charter to begin with. It seems to be a bit of a circular reasoning. And it kind of raises a conundrum of how did we get to the situation we're in now, you know?
Yeah, it is. You hit the nail on the head, conundrum, and it is. Matt Marr says he doesn't trust much of what Jim Utter says personally. You know, I don't know. I'd have to do more research before I say Jim is right or Jim is wrong, like the rest of us would. I don't know. I just think it would be pretty – I am inclined to believe that that is false, just because I think that Tony Stewart and Gene Haas are smart enough to know that why would you announce this if you can't actually sell the charters? Because why would you even remotely announce it until a new deal is reached if that was the case? Colin, what's your thoughts on that? And so is Jim Utter full of bullocks on this one?
Look, I as someone who preoccupies the same business of Jim Utter, I feel ashamed to call him a fellow colleague of mine. But I think the thing about when you talk about a team going under in this day and age in the Cup Series, I think the conversation of where these charters are going to go is going to come up, and it's going to be a continuing story as the season goes on. So, I mean, he may be a little bit right. He may be like saying, hey, this is what's coming down the road. Not so much reporting based on fact, just saying, hey, just be aware that these talks are going to happen in the future. But, I think it was really more interesting to that he reported that NASCAR is considering if you're not grandfathered in, so the Hendricks, the Gibbses of the world, where you have a four-car team and are Penske has a three-car team, but they also have Wood Brothers, and you can consider that a four-car team. But the days of a team having a four-car team, an up-and-coming team, are over. So the teams like the track houses of the world, the 2311s, because the conversation that we talked about with 2311 on the past on this show was that Denny Hamlin will eventually come to 2311 and run a 2311 car. Now, let's say Noah Gregson is in the ride at 2311 or someone else is. That's three cars where you could get that fourth car from because you can't do that anymore. So it's going to be a very interesting business cycle for NASCAR. And considering, I think this is bad news, considering all the good news they recently reported in the past couple of months with the new TV deals, and I think going to Amazon is a really cool thing. I think going back to TNT is really cool. Dale Jr. being part of that broadcasting team for both Amazon and TNT. A lot of good things are coming on the broadcasting side, but internally, behind the scenes with business, it's going to get, I think, very ugly, and maybe Utter is onto something. But just mark my words, these getting these charters is not going to be a pretty thing to witness if you are a someone like an Adam Stern. It's going to be a very messy, I think, divorce from Stewart Haas Racing from NASCAR. I mean, that's really the only thing you can call it. They're not shutting down. They're leaving the sport. And I think Tony's the real reason why.
Kyle, any follow-up comments on that?
Colin made another good point there. This new charter agreement still has a long way to go in the negotiations. He did bring up the point about possibly limiting it to three-car teams. That was not proposed by the teams. That was proposed by NASCAR. And grandfathering in teams, the team owners, from what I have seen, do not like that. And, yes, that's been something that's been brought up in negotiations. There's still time to take those back out of the negotiations, just like there's still time to make the charters either permanent, to make them renewing every 10 years, or to change that issue. I think it just shows there's still a lot that needs to be said behind closed doors as to before we will have any idea what the actual charter system is going to look like going forward versus what we've seen the last few years. And I think the Stewart Haas deal has now just accelerated those talks and made it even more important for them to go ahead and get something in writing and go ahead and get an agreement in place, because now we have charters that need to be sold and we're on the precipice of just waiting. Well, what does that mean? What is the value of this charter?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I feel like this could be indicative of the issues with the charter system. I understand why the teams want the charters. I get it. I really do. But this continuing trend of teams either full-fledged going under, like SHR, or having to merge, like Legacy Motor Club, or shutting down, like GMS, I just don't like that we're in this extended era of teams constantly going under and not able to keep going, where we didn't, it does, and maybe I'm wrong, you guys are much more close to historians than I am, but this feels like the first era that it's constant where teams are just shutting down every couple of years. I know teams come and go, I get it, but it feels like more prominent race teams are having trouble keeping their doors open than ever before. Either one of you got any thoughts on that? I'll start with you, Colin.
Well, I mean, no one is making money in motorsports anymore. You're initially, and this goes across any motorsport series that you will come across, no one is operating in the green. Everyone is operating in the red. AJ will probably tell you that John Force Racing is not a very prosperous business venture for him. Cars are becoming more expensive. The next-gen car, which was supposed to cost teams less and less money. I think Jeff Gordon, if I remember correctly, he said, you know, these cars are going to cost maybe 100K. We're now knowing that these cars cost about 250K a pop. So all the money saving talks that we've seen with this next gen car have turned out to be false. And, you know, I think it's just going to get harder for anybody to come into the NASCAR Cup Series unless you are comfortable with losing a lot of money. And with how the current economy is, some people just aren't that way. Some people just don't want to throw money into a bottomless pit that the NASCAR Cup Series is. So Like AJ said, and I hate to keep agreeing with him, but it seems like he kind of hit the nail on the head. But until the business side of the sport gets worked out to where it's a prosperous thing, I mean, continue to see more of this. But I don't think you're going to see like the Hendrick Motorsports of the world, Gibbs's of the world, Roger Penske say, I don't want to be in the NASCAR Cup Series anymore. I think teams like Colleague Racing, our JTD Doherty are probably the next two teams to say, hey, we're not going to be in the Cup Series anymore.
Yeah, I can piggyback on that real quick.
Go ahead.
Colin made an excellent point and something that actually me and another friend of the show, Daniel Foster, had a conversation about in one of our group chats the other night. I think we're starting to see the exact same thing that happened at the turn of the century, late 90s, early 2000s, with single car teams, small-time car owners that didn't have a whole lot of money and were just running for the fun of it. They started shutting down around 99, 2000, and it became much worse up through 2002, 2003. And after that, the only teams that filled the back of the grid were starting parks because they couldn't even afford to run the full race without it being a loss or losing profit in the meantime to do it. And then they couldn't afford to continue to race. Now we're seeing the next generation of team owners who have more money than that and do have a little bit of funds to throw at the sport. Now they're the ones that are starting to shut down. I think at the rate we're going, what Colin was saying about Hendrick's never going to leave, Penske's never going to leave, I agree. I think there's a chance they may be the only teams left in a few years. And I wonder if that's why NASCAR brought up the 3-car limit to try to limit that, because they will have the money to continue to put teams on the track for, you know, as long as they want to do it. They've made the money elsewhere to be able to do that. Not all of our team owners have. And now our second tier teams are struggling to make ends meet and looking to close their doors. How long is it before we only have a Toyota team, a Chevy team, and a Ford team? And that's it in NASCAR. It seems to be going that route, albeit slowly. But that seems to be the end goal if we don't do something to change this pricing out of NASCAR owners.
Colin, any follow-up on that?
I mean, the thing about the messiness of the business of motorsports is we all know that NASCAR is currently in talks with bringing another manufacturer into the sport. And granted, if Chevy has issues right now, but those issues are concerned with what is going to be the Chevy car that they're going to run in 2025 because they're no longer making the Camaro. So is it going to be Cadillac? Is it going to be like another thing where they're going to take like the Holden Commodore and turn it into the SS here in the States? We have no idea. And with NASCAR, if it last reported correctly, they're close to having another manufacturer come into sport. Who is that team going to be? Because all of these teams are so heavily in their alliances that no manufacturer probably want to take him away. So they're probably going to have a new team come in just to satisfy the new manufacturer requirement. And we all think it's going to be Honda. And the only reason I say that is because Honda has been increasingly bullish on staying in IndyCar. And I think those, what you saw yesterday's Sunday's Indy 500 sort of compound those issues with all the engine failures primarily being from a Honda power plant. So I don't think we're going to get to a singular Chevy Ford Toyota team. I think in maybe 5 or 10 years, unless nothing changes, I think the max number of cars on the grid would probably be in the range of 20 to 25, which severely hurts the NASCAR Cup Series moving forward. And it kind of just compounds issues when you look at other series in the country where IndyCar, we have new teams coming in almost on a yearly basis. Andretti wants to be part of F1. IMSA and other GT-type classes around the world, they're having new teams come in almost at an expedient rate, but NASCAR just seems to be stalling. So, it's weird because NASCAR owns IMSA, and IMSA's not having these problems. Only NASCAR is. So, maybe whoever is running NASCAR, the Cup Series side, needs to probably talk to IMSA to find out what's going on with their series.
Matt Maher brings up a good point. Another manufacturer apparently doesn't want to come in if they don't switch to hybridization. That's been reported on the last couple of weeks that other manufacturers will come in, but only if NASCAR switches to hybrid, which has opened up the door that maybe by 26 or 27, NASCAR goes hybrid. And obviously that would open up a whole can of worms. I can hear everybody now. Oh, goodness. But all kidding aside, that's NASCAR needs to do whatever it can to get more manufacturers. And NASCAR needs to get this charter agreement settled, because I'm not going to be hyperbolic and say we're witnessing the death of the sport. We're not. But you're witnessing the possibility of a serious decline if they don't try to keep up with the times. We only got a few more minutes. I don't want to keep everybody too long. But, Kyle, any thoughts on that, on the potential of new manufacturers and going hybrid and things of that nature? And, of course, the charters issues.
Yeah, I've got a few thoughts on that. I do agree with Colin that should we not expand teams and we do eventually have another manufacturer come in, 20 to 25 may be the limit. That may be what we see, 4-5 car teams on the grid of each manufacturer, and that's all we have, simply because it's too expensive to run single car and 2 car teams as opposed to 3-4 multi-car teams who can spend those resources and spread them out per cars. We've been hearing Honda was coming since the beginning of the Gen 7 era, the Gen 6 era, excuse me. That's part of the reason we reduced horsepower several years ago, was to get ready to try to bring in new OEMs. Well, we're 5 years into that, still no new OEM. I would love to see Honda come into the sport. I really would. I think they are doing their best in IndyCar. They're having trouble with the engine power plant right now, but they're still committed to it, and they're pushing towards trying to improve in that sport. I think we're still at an issue with hybridization, that unless we see a different style of hybrid racing than we see in other series like Formula One, we're not gonna really see NASCAR go hybrid until it works, because currently what they do is use the heat and the kinetic energy under braking to power the battery for the car, and that's what gives them the hybrid technology. NASCAR does not brake enough at any of our ovals, except maybe Martinsville, some of the short tracks and mile speedways. At our mile and a half and 2 miles, we don't brake enough to build up any energy to refuel that battery. So until the hybridization changes, I don't see it anywhere except short tracks and road courses. That's part of the reason Formula One continues to run road courses the way that they do, because the hybrid technology works so well there because of the heavy braking zones and the time to regenerate that battery. I think that's the biggest hurdle we're facing right now in trying to become a hybrid series.
That's a great point. That's a great, great point. Look, Colin, anything on that? And then we gotta hit closing time and get out of here. I don't want to keep everybody too long.
I mean, the hybridization of NASCAR, I don't think what you're going to see is what you see in F1 or IndyCar, where you're getting a push and pass. I think in IndyCar it works, in F1 it works because of the state of racing that IndyCar and F1 used to have, where there was no overtakes, whereas NASCAR has sort of, it's more, you know, it's not, you don't have to have a gimmick to have a race where you're seeing 400, 500 passes, on track passes for position to race. I mean, go to Daytona, Daytona is probably a gimmick too because of the restricted plate. But I mean, you know, any mile and a half, we see a lot of passing. Why? Because the car allows it to. So if we're talking about a hybridization, you're probably talking maybe an electric motor kicking on a pit road or under pace speed to save fuel. But outside of that, I don't think the Cup Series needs a push to pass or something like that. But I mean, that's the thing. Honda's not going to come in without, you know, showcasing off their hybrid technology, which I don't know is very good. I don't look into Honda's car design, but I know Toyota has a lot of they're you know, they are probably one of the pioneers in hybrid designs with the Prius. And I mean, the whole point of NASCAR is to buy on Monday, win on Sunday and buy on Monday. And if they can say, hey, look, we have our hybrid systems, we've won NASCAR championships with them, look what we can do for you, you'll have the best hybrid system in the world because NASCAR runs it. I mean, that's the future the motorsports is going into. I mean, that's just business. That's not hurting anyone, I think. And I think the people who do hate it are traditionalists in NASCAR. I'm a traditionalist as well. But the thing about motorsports is if you do not change and evolve, then you just die. So NASCAR doesn't want to die. I think we all don't want to see NASCAR die. But at the end of the day, we do have to admit that change does bring good things to the sport.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out. Look, it's a sad, sad day to see a one-time powerhouse close its door at the end of the year. And thank you both for joining for this special episode. But before we end, we got to hit some closing time and get some final thoughts. So, Peggy, do the honors, would you? All right, Kyle Fizz Finley, thanks for coming on this impromptu episode of Raceman Fresh Happy Hour. And since you're the guest, you go first. Some final words for the folks.
All right, well, first of all, Logan, Peggy, thank y'all for having me on. Colin, thank you for being here with me. I think we had a good discussion today amid, you know, albeit sad news. I hate this for Stuart Haas. I hate this for the sport simply because we're losing a team that has won championships, multiple championships in our sport. And anytime you see a team that is a former championship winner close its doors, it's never a good sign long term. I hate it for all those employees, for the drivers at Stuart Haas. I hope every single one of them bounces back, gets on their feet, and gets in with another organization in NASCAR, and they continue to do what they love. I guess my final thought is we're going to have to see over the next several months how this folds out, and I think it is the turning point of, for better or worse, what direction this sport is going in for the next few years.
I'm inclined to agree. Colin Best, it's been a while since I've seen you, but you remember this. Final words.
Sorry. Wow, almost died there. But look, it's been great to be back on Racing Refresh. Hopefully this is not a one-off appearance, but I do have a day job, and sometimes that kind of takes precedent over what we're doing here at Racing Refresh. But I'm happy to be back. It's surprising. I take a couple weeks off, and Max Verstappen doesn't win every single F1 race, and we just probably had one of the best Indy 500s that I've seen in quite a long time, and I'm kind of mad that AJ was there to actually witness that in person. So I'm a little jealous, but this is not the last time you'll see me on Racing Refresh. I'll be back soon. The summer months here, working for a local paper, are kind of the busiest months of the year. But it was great to see Kyle, great to see Peggy, and it was, as always, Logan, it's always great to see you, my friend.
Oh, we do appreciate that. You kind words, you stud. Final words, producer Peggy, we had a little impromptu episode here. Unfortunately, some big sad news today. What are your final words? Give us something. I'm sure it's going to be good.
I feel bad for everyone losing their jobs. I want to make that very clear. But I also want to say, is it fair to feel bad for people losing their jobs and also say, okay. Apparently he had to go. Is it fair to say I feel bad for people losing their jobs, but also say I don't care that they're shutting down?
Yowza. I hope that's Danny Dorothy talk.
I think it's Clotine.
Yeah. Jeez. It might be. Well, way to tell us how you really feel there, Peggy. Anywho, I'm going to try to give us some final words. So, Kyle, thank you for coming on. I had a blast. Hope we do this again sometime. This was a ton of fun. Really enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed it as well. Hope you'll agree to come on back.
I definitely enjoyed this. Thank you for having me, Logan.
All right. So we hope you'll come on back. Producer Peggy, thanks for tolerating me. We appreciate that. And everybody just bouncing. All right. So
apparently there's no team meeting afterwards.
Apparently. All right, everybody just bouncing quicker than hiccups here. So with that, this has been a pretty special and abrupt edition of Refresh Happy Hour. And so we'll see you next Monday. You can watch our regular show, 9 p.m. Eastern on Mondays. And hey, if this is your first time watching, do us a favor. Give us a like. Give us a share. Please subscribe. And maybe go check out our website and just check out all the hot content coming that way. And you can even buy a t-shirt if you'd like or a sticker. We want to grow this thing. We can only grow this as much as you allow us. I do want to take a second before I say goodbye and thank Zach Bell, Matt Marr, Ryan Hill, Brandon Wilcox chiming in. Just a lot of different comments. Of course, Freddie Bannister staying true. Didn't see him so much last night, but he was right back with us again. And then thanks to the founder, AJ Appeal, coming on. So with that, we hope you enjoyed this special edition of Race Meet Fresh Happy Hour. Stuart Haas shutting down at the end of 2024. Sad, sad news. And we'll talk more about it next Monday. And until then, we'll see you at the next track.